May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, always be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Over the past several weeks, we have been spending time with Jesus and a crowd as he teaches them about being the bread of life. It started out innocently by the crowd following Jesus to the other side of the Sea of Galilee because they experienced a miracle. They saw before their very eyes a crowd of over 5,000 people being fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The crowd also had seen Jesus heal many sick. Then Jesus starts teaching about the larger meaning of what he is called to do and to be. Jesus reminds the crowds about the manna and their ancestors ate on their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, how God provided for the people bread every day of their journey. But it was not like the bread that Jesus is talking about. The bread their ancestors ate sustained them for only a day, but no longer. But the bread that Jesus is talking about gives life and gives it abundantly. As we have walked through the teaching of Jesus on being the bread of life, we hear more and more people complaining about it. It starts with the leaders of the community saying that they know who Jesus is, and they know his parents and his family, so how can he say that he has come down from heaven? Then the crowd gets more and more restless, and many begin to leave Jesus' company. Jesus' teaching did not draw all people to him, but alienated many, so they left the company. Jesus, the living bread, claims that whoever eats his flesh and drinks his blood abides in him, and he in that person. It is important to note that this statement, like so many in John's Gospel, is a symbolic statement. It is not to be taken literally. As the last of the Gospels to be written, John has had many years to think about Jesus, about his life, his death, the resurrection, about his teaching and what all of it means to us. And when John writes that we are to consume the body and blood of Jesus, it is not about actually consuming flesh and blood, nor does it mean just partaking of the Eucharist every Sunday. It means so much more. Eugene Peterson, in his book on the spiritual reading of Scripture, titled Eat This Book, draws on the biblical and historical imagery of tasting and seeing, and of prophets like John, who had tangible experiences that involved an extremely deep connection with Jesus and with God. Peterson writes, eating a book takes it all in, assimilating it into the tissues of our lives. Readers become what they read. If Holy Scriptures be something other than mere gossip of God, it must be internalized. Eating and drinking metaphors best express oneness, intimacy, and the best way to be part of the life of Jesus. Jesus indicates the profundity of the relationship he is calling us to and comparing it to the relationship that he has with God. This relationship is perfect and permanent. Partaking in Jesus' flesh and blood means establishing and remaining in this relationship, lasting and deepening to all eternity and enabling the believers to live forever. Jesus is not letting up as the people around him grumble and complain about his teaching. Jesus is wanting them to move from the literal meaning of his words to a deeper, more spiritual meaning. Jesus wants the people to see in him and in his words the relationship that he has with God, how connected they are, how Jesus is the very image of God in their midst. This is difficult. How can a mere human being be the very image of God in our midst? And what does it mean about us? If Jesus is calling us to eat his body and to drink his blood, he is calling us to a higher reality. He is calling us to be so in tune with him and the world around us that we respond just like he did. A number of years ago, there was a fad among many Christians to wear a wristband with the initials WWJD written on it, meaning, what would Jesus do? You may remember wearing them or seeing them around. These wristbands were worn by people to remind them about how Jesus responds in the world. The questions that these wristbands were supposed to give to the wearer is, in this situation, what would Jesus do? And when they thought about that, they were to respond in the same way that Jesus did. But many people found that these wristbands were difficult to wear. They were being asked to step out of their comfort zone and to be Jesus in the world around them. And this is a very difficult thing to do. It means putting ourselves aside and being present to someone in a unique and loving way. It means seeing everyone in a way that builds them up instead of tearing them down. We can see how difficult this can be every time we turn the news on today. How disrespect and hatred seem to be the rule of the day. How some people would rather put someone down in order that they look good themselves. This seems to be the way of the world, and it is the exact opposite of how Jesus is calling us to act. Jesus is losing followers in today's gospel story because his teaching is hard, but he does not step away from it and dilute it so his teachings become easier for us. He uses the occasion to challenge his disciples whom God has drawn to him, and he says to them, "Will you also go away?" But Peter responds, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter confesses acceptance of the invitation to be with Jesus and to remain with Jesus in a deep and lasting relationship. There is no other person to whom believers can go to. Jesus' teaching may be challenging, but he does not shy away from them. He continues to offer hard truths that if we remain with him, if we eat his body and drink his blood in the way that we will abide in God and God abides in us, then we will have an eternal life. An eternal life is not something that starts when we die. Jesus will raise us up on the last day, of course, but he also says that we already have eternal life right now, right here. So eating his flesh and drinking his blood in order to live and be with God today and always is his goal. Are we willing to stay with our teacher even when his teachings seem so difficult to follow? Can we be like Peter and say, "To whom can we go?" Can we embrace the relationship, eating his flesh and drinking his blood, so that we may receive a deeper and lasting relationship with Jesus? Peter was a man both with strengths and weaknesses, is an excellent example of faith. He is not perfect, but has his shining moments. He can misunderstand situations and will even deny Jesus at the arrest and at his trial. But more often than not, he is right. In Peter's mind, no one can teach better than the teacher of excellence, Jesus himself. And as a follower of Jesus and his works and teachings that create a deeper, intimate relationship with God, Jesus' teaching may be difficult and hard to live out, but Peter is a wonderful example for our own lives. But Peter's unwavering belief and commitment to Jesus at this point should inspire us to believe and to taste and see. Amen.